Today we're going to have a sermon, as has been mentioned, from Mr. Armstrong, in which he heavily uses a particular passage of Scripture. And if you'd like to turn there over to 1 Corinthians 11, he particularly goes into the fact that let a man examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of that cup. But what I'd like to do today is I'd like to examine part of this context of this particular Scripture and concentrate particularly on one word that you find in that context, and show how that word really makes what Mr. Armstrong has to say even more meaningful for our post-apostasy position that we find ourselves in today. I nearly said post-apostolic. It's a post-apostasy that we've actually experienced, and the shattering that we find ourselves in today. That word is doikumos in Greek. And if I just read you a little bit of what it actually has to say on the online Bible commentary, it says, in the ancient world, there was no banking system as we know it today and no paper money. All money was made from metal, heated until liquid, and poured into molds and allowed to cool. When the coins were cooled, it was necessary to smooth off the uneven edges. The coins were comparatively soft, and of course many people shaved them closely because they take the shavings and have that for themselves, obviously. In one century, more than 80 laws were passed in Athens to stop the practice of shaving down the coins then in circulation. If anything tells you about laws don't actually make people righteous, that should. But some money changers were men of integrity who would accept no counterfeit money. So the counterfeit money, where perhaps somebody had made a mold and put inferior metal in there, or had been shaving off the coinage, they would accept no counterfeit money. These men of honour who put only genuinely full-weighted money into circulation. Such men were called doikumos, or approved. And what we actually find in the context of this passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let's read the word itself in the context as well in which you find it. It says in chapter 11 verse 1, it says, be you followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Now I want you to notice that very carefully, that Paul was a follower of Christ, and it was because he was following Christ that people were then to take notice of him. And he says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances, or the traditions as it says in the margin, as I delivered them to you. Now the implication there is that here he was delivering traditions to the church, delivering a way of life to the church, but that way of life wasn't coming from Paul. That way of life was actually coming from Christ, because he was actually following Christ, and they were to follow him as he was following Christ. That's because he was following Christ, and therefore keep these traditions that were being mentioned. Now if we go down to verse 17, he says, now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. So there is a problem here. There is a problem with them actually following the traditions that were given to him from Christ. They were not following. They were actually going in a different direction. He says, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions, it says in the margin, schisms among you. It actually means rent, it means torn. Yeah, that's the actual word that's used for divisions here. And it says, I partly believe it, or I believe that part of you are, and in fact, it's probably a better translation, the part of you are in fact doing this. This is a problem there. For there must also be heresies among you, literally, and the word being used and translated as heresies as choices, or sects, as it actually mentions here in the margin, among you, that you which are approved, and that's the word doikumos, that's the word approved. In other words, you that are approved, like money is approved, the genuine article may be made manifest among you. So it was actually the fact that there are different factions, different schisms, different ideas, different doctrines, different traditions, that was allowing them all to see who in fact was approved, who was the genuine article. And this is the context in which you find this particular verse, let a man so examine himself and eat of that bread and drink of that cup, that Mr. Armstrong is going to use in this sermon today, over and over and over again, explaining what it means, what in fact it's involved in. And I wanted to just zero in on this particular part of the context that leads into this section, because he doesn't deal with this context at all, and zero in on this one word, this word doikumos, which means to be approved, and how, in fact, that in turn actually finds itself in a context which is to do with people following Paul, the people in the church in Corinth following Paul, because he was following Christ. It's the fact that Christ was putting these things into the church. It wasn't the fact that everybody goes to their own ideas, their own heresies, their own concepts of things, but in fact, it allows us to see, because God allows these heresies, allows these schisms within the church, and he allows it so that we can actually then make a determination as to who is in fact the genuine article. And it's not enough to just accept all these various ideas. And we've got ideas in a plethora throughout the internet today. You can go on the internet and find all kinds of ideas about all kinds of things, all having a root of the Worldwide Church of God. And yet, there's a need for that, because again, you should be able to therefore determine what is in fact approved, what is the genuine article, and be able to go and determine that genuine article and make it visible today. All groups are not the same. All groups are not the same. All schisms, all heresies are not the same by any means. Now, the context in which Paul was saying this, and the people that Paul was saying this to, we can go back and have a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and see the context of this particular book, in that sense, and the problems that he was dealing with. And again, we see this approval that is necessary, even in this section here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If we notice in verse 3, it says, "For are you not yet carnal? For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" Whereas if we are all fighting about something, then there is a problem. There is different ideas, different concepts, different ways of looking at things. And it's not going back to the foundation that was given to them. "For while one says, I'm of Paul, another says, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Are you not fleshly?" Looking at it in a fleshly way. "Who then is for Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers who by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos have watered, but..." And this is the question, this is the emphasis here. God is the one that gives the increase. It's God that actually produces the increase. If you go out and you sow some grain in the ground, you might go ahead and do the sowing. Somebody else might irrigate it. And this weather, we've had no rain for about a week or more, and that's a long time in Wales. And I was thinking just yesterday, I thought, I really, before I leave, I'm going to have to water the parsnips and make sure that the seed is actually going to have some water there. So if it didn't actually happen this way, but if Judy had gone ahead and sown the seed and I watered it, does that mean that we've made it grow? Of course we didn't make it grow. God is the one that makes it grow. And in the same way within the church, that is the case. But if you notice in verse, what in fact is the cause of that growth, it's interesting. The actual sermon that we're going to be listening to, if I can quote a little bit from it, it is Passover preparation, and it's one that we've heard several times before. And you think, well, why do we need to hear it again? Why go through it again? Because this is such a bedrock subject at this particular time of year in the context that we find ourselves. This is why I thought, well, it'd be better if I gave the sermonette before it and point out that the context we find ourselves, it's very important that we do have that right foundation. And we make sure that as we examine ourselves, that we do in fact understand the things that Mr. Armstrong is bringing out. In this, about 25 minutes into the sermon, Mr. Armstrong says, "The Holy Spirit does not teach you. You must be taught by and from God, by the Word of God, and Christ is that Word of God." See, the emphasis here of Paul making it, pointing people to Christ, follow me as I'm following Christ and keep the traditions, is because that's where the word actually came from. That's where the word does actually come from. It says, "Where did Peter, James, Andrew, where did the early apostles get knowledge? From Christ." Well, I got the same. I get from the same source, because Christ is the Word of God in person. But the Bible is the same Word of God in writing. And he goes on, he says, "But it all came through Christ. He was the one that taught, not the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit opened their mind to comprehend." You remember last week I gave a sermon, and we finished off the Beatitudes, and I made a reference to Mystery of the Ages, and I talked about how thorough conversion was necessary for the church. And what Mr. Armstrong is talking about in the sermon is repentance. And repentance is the intent to turn. It leads then to conversion. Conversion is somebody who has turned. So repentance, the intent to turn, leads to conversion, which is the turned person. And he mentions here, he says, conversion takes place in the mind, and that faculty of mind we call the heart. Do you remember me reading this? He says, this could never be fully understood without an understanding of the actual makeup of the human mind, as explained in chapter 3 of this work. It could never be understood until the knowledge was revealed through the Bible, through the Word, through the written Word of Christ, the living Word. It says, until the knowledge was revealed through the Bible of the human spirit in man, the actual composition of the human mind. Now, I pointed out that we literally, therefore, didn't really understand the subject of conversion before that knowledge came, and that came in the late 60s. So there's quite a bit of new information, and the thing we need to get back to is back to that knowledge that was left for us. Here in 1 Corinthians 3, though, coming back to this, he says, look, there's schisms, there's problems within the church. Aren't you therefore carnal and walk as men? Are you not going along the spirit of this world, going down that spirit, instead of recognizing the revelation that has actually been given to the church at that particular time? And he mentions this in verse 10. He says, according as the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. As I say, you can go on the internet, you can learn all kinds of things from all kinds of people. But are you going back? Is it, you know, the schisms, the factions, the heresies, the mishmash that we've got today? It's there that we may determine what is in fact coming from Jesus Christ. For another foundation, and remember, who laid the foundation? Paul laid the foundation as their apostle. For another foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Which is Jesus Christ. Let's just turn finally over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. Because this certainly has a certain ring about it in the context we find ourselves today. And this doikumos, this approved, this the real article, is vitally important that we understand and we're able to ask God to give us the understanding that is necessary. You know, if we're finding difficulty, we will have difficulty. If we try to do it on a human perspective, it's impossible. It's impossible to determine out of the mishmash that's there the truth from a purely human perspective. You've got to go to God and ask for that spirit and then understand the word of God and put that word of God against what in fact is being said. And it says here, it says, little children, verse 18 of 1 John 2, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, notice Antichrist, the one that is working against Christ, shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists. There are many people working against Christ, against the word of God in flesh. The word of God that is being expressed within somebody's life, whereby we know that it is the last time. This is how we know. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they may be made manifest that they were not all of us. And they went away from the truth. And so when we look at this passage in Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which Mr. Armstrong is going to refer to in this sermon that we're listening to, where he tells, he particularly quotes verse 28, let a man examine himself. Also remember the context that it's given in. Also remember the fact that we are to follow, not only follow Paul, but follow Mr. Armstrong also, as he followed Christ, and keep what is in fact been delivered to us via him. Because as it says, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions, schisms among you. And I believe that part of you are. For there must also be heresies, there must also be sects and these divisions that are there among you. That they which are approved, they which are doikumos, the real genuine article, may be made manifest among you.